Lord is good. We're thanking Him today for His presence and for His love in our life. Amen. Glad for this good crowd on Memorial Day. We're going to let the kids go back to Children's Church. We know a lot of people are out today, probably worshiping their other god. Amen. The sun god. The beach god. Amen. But we're glad that you're here today. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Who walk not after the law of sin and death, but after the law that's in the Spirit of Christ. I'm glad today that because of that, that there is no condemnation. I'm going to ask if you will today so that I don't spread out because we got so many folks out today. I'm going to ask if some of you just kind of fill in the middle here, and those who are on the extremes can stay on the extremes. But I'm going to ask some folks to move in here and kind of move in because my line of sight is right at a bunch of empty seats. Amen. So I need some fresh blood, some live people to minister to. And since Pastor can't get up and walk around and go to you, amen, you've got to come to me. Is that okay? Amen. It's interesting to note, if you will, you can turn with me to Luke chapter 24 today. I'm reading from a translation. Luke chapter 24 today, verse 44. I'm reading to you out of the New American Standard Bible. I like this translation a little bit better. If you haven't already, you need to go ahead and get the series on Lodibar. You can call it whatever you want. It's Lodibar. It's the place of grace. It's the place of my healing. It's the place of my deliverance. Lodibar is that place that, in the natural, it's the desolate place. It's a place without pastor. It's a place without any kind of hope. It's the hopeless place. Lodibar is the dwelling place of Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth is the son of Jonathan who was left there. And that's where he went from the place of his brokenness to his crippledness. And there is where he was. Lodibar is the place of crippledness. It's not only the place of crippledness physically, but it is the place crippled. It is the place of crippledness mentally, emotionally. It is that place to where that our whole life becomes crippled in the ability to garner, to nurture relationships. Mephibosheth was the result of the loss of the kingdom of Saul. And Mephibosheth lost his grandfather and his father in one day. In it, David became king. And in thinking that that was going to transpire, that he was going to be killed also, his nurse grabbed him up, running with him. She fell on his ankles, crushed his ankles. And in crushing his ankles, he was crippled in his feet for the rest of his life. In it, David, as he came into the kingdom, David being the representative of Jesus Christ, he is that foreshadowed representative. He is that cameo. He is that image of the Christ. Amen? In the Old Testament. How many knows that the Old Testament foreshadows the New Testament? It is the example. It is the cameo. It is the image. Those images, many of them are the images of what we see in the New Testament today. And so they are what the Bible calls in the New Testament, ensamples, ensamples, but they are examples of for us today. And we're glad for that. And we're glad as we've seen Mephibosheth's life, we see how that as David came into the kingdom and when we deserved no mercy, we deserved no hope, there was no hope for us. Mercy saw us on the path to hell. The prison that we were in was we were going to face eternal damnation. There was no hope. No, we couldn't buy our way out. We couldn't plead our way out. We could not get our way out of the price for our sins. Our sins were too great. Are you hearing me? There was nothing. There was no religion. There was no bargaining. There was nothing that was going to release us from the prison of our destination, which was hell. But because of who God is, everybody say who God is. Of who God is love. But no one is saved. No one is saved through love. They are saved because of love. Because you can love a drug addict, but that's not going to keep them from taking drugs. Amen? How many did love ever keep you from being stupid? Come on, raise your hands. Anybody? Anybody? That's it. All right. Right. Why is that, Pastor? Because love don't keep you from being stupid. Amen? How do I know that? Because my mom loved me more than any other person in the world. And I was an expert at being stupid. Amen? Come on, just shake your head. If you can't say amen and rejoice with me today, amen, in the stupid club, then you know what? Then what does that say about you today, right? Come on now. You know it's the truth. Love doesn't keep us from stupid. What keeps us is out of love comes mercy and grace. And without mercy and grace, see, that's the problem, man, because when you're in the kingdom and you come in the kingdom, and that's and we're going to see that today. The message today that I'm going to be preaching is from Passover to Pentecost. From Passover to Pentecost. Turn to somebody and say, Passover to Pentecost. Passover is not my final resting place. I'm headed to Pentecost so that I can be empowered. Amen. So anyways, here we see the revelation of Mephibosheth. We see the revelation of what God did. And as David came into the kingdom, he said, is there anyone left? Is there anyone left of Saul's house that I can show kindness to? Jonathan's house that I can show kindness to? The reason being is the last thing that David remembered was the kindness that Jonathan had showed to him. The covenant that they had had. See, that's the whole thing that we miss many times is that covenant lasts and covenant lasts longer than anything. If you don't have covenant, you can't stay in relationship. It's not a real relationship. Covenant is what makes relationship. That's why some folks can never stay in a church, is because they've never known the secret of covenant. Because the moment they get upset, the moment that their lives don't work out the way that they think they should, or because the promises haven't been fulfilled. I'm not in the church of Jesus Christ because I'm looking for something. I'm in the church of Jesus Christ because I have something. Oh, you just missed a real chance to say amen. I said, I'm not in the church of Jesus Christ because that I'm looking for something. I'm in it because I have something. I don't have to look anymore. See, I don't have to look for somebody to fulfill my dreams. I don't have stars in my eyes. I don't wear jaded glasses. Amen. I'm not looking for, you know, somebody to be all that I can be. Because you know what? Jesus is all that he can be in me. See, that's the secret. The secret is that God, that we are always searching for something else. We're searching for the perfect church. We're searching for the perfect preacher. We're searching for the perfect person, the perfect image. But the perfect image is not a person in the context that what we think it is here on this earth. The perfect person that we are looking for, that we're never going to be satisfied until we allow Jesus Christ to be the Lord of our life. See, our problem is not in what Christ has done. Our problem, look, your problem, my problem, is not with the things of this world. The problem, if we can resolve this one issue, if we can resolve this one issue, that it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. If I can resolve that issue today. If I can resolve that it's not my will, it's not my will. That's tough to say. Come on now, you know it is. Amen? Amen. Say, Pastor, you know, that's the whole problem, man. It's always about somebody else instead of me. You know? We can give, and then we feel like, man, we've given out. We don't have nothing else to give. But I'm here to tell you is this, that no matter what you have, no matter where you are, if you're in Lodibar, then I'm declaring to you that God has sent you a redeemer. Amen. If you're Ruth today and you're out there gleaning in the field and you feel like you're on your last stand and you are gleaning the little bits and you've lost your husband, you've lost your life, you're at the end of your road and here you are gleaning in the field, picking up the leftovers of what everybody else has harvested, I'm here to tell you today, and listen to me, God has a redeemer for you. God has a Boaz for your life. God has a Boaz for you. God hasn't destined for you to stay in Lodibar. Lodibar is not your destiny. I said Lodibar is not your destiny. Lodibar is not the final resting place. But if you're not careful, Lodibar can be your destiny. Amen. But you have to decide to leave. Lodibar is that place of grace. That's where I discover grace. But I want you to hear the word today. And this is leading into this message today from Passover to Pentecost. You can title it from Bethany to Jerusalem. Doesn't make any difference as we go into the word today. We realize that grace has not only taken me, and I discovered grace in Lodibar. I discovered grace in my desolation. Because it's in my desolation, I realize, man, I can't do this by myself. I need His ability. I need His power, man. You know, that's the thing in my life is that Doug, I've always been powerful. Today, I resolve everything with my tongue. Back in the day, now that's a long time ago, I resolved everything with Mr. and Mrs. here. Okay? And we created marriage after marriage. But you know what? No matter how strong, no matter how bad I thought I was to the bone back then, I want you to know something. I didn't resolve anything. That was my fear. That was the terror that raged in me, the anger that raged in me, that terror that raged in me, always believing somebody wanted to hurt me, somebody wanted to reject me. And before you could reject me, before you could hurt me, I would hurt you. I would make you fear me. But how many knows today, when I met Christ in Lodibar, I realized I didn't have to be afraid of anybody, that I could be free to be who I was in Jesus Christ. And I didn't have to use the strength of my body. I didn't have to always think somebody's out to get me. God delivered me. Come on. God delivered me from my paranoia. God delivered me from my anger. Are you listening today? God delivered me from that place of thinking I was always going to be the one drawing the short straw. Come on now. Amen. You know, those movies where, you know, somebody has to go in and, you know, if you're the guy that draws a short straw, you know, you're going to die. How many have ever seen that scene in a movie? Sure, we have. Amen. And the guy draws a short straw and then the dramatic music comes out and, you know, he's done in this movie. He ain't coming back. How many's ever had that feeling? I'm done with this movie. I ain't coming back. But how many knows today that Jesus, listen to me. Oh, man. Jesus already drew the short straw. Jesus drew it for you. Jesus already chose the short straw for your life in Lodibar. And God said, look, as He picked me up, because that's what grace does. Grace picks you up out of Lodibar. Grace picks you up out of that place of desolation. Grace picks you up out of that place where there is no hope, Mary. Where there is no chance, Linda. Where there is no way. How can anything get me out of this desperate situation? But in the middle of my time of desperation and desolation, what does He do? He sends me a Redeemer to get me out of Lodibar and bring me in to the place of the King's court. Woo! I wasn't planning on preaching this today. Are you hearing me? But undoubtedly, you need to hear. Some of you need to hear. Some of you that are just sitting here. How long? How long? Why should I live, Candy, in Lodibar any longer? Why should I stay in that place of crippleness? Yeah, but Pastor, you don't know my physical situation. It doesn't make any difference because you have one who is greater than your needs. And as long as your need is greater than you, as long as what you think in your life, as long as your negative thinking, as long as your bitter spirit is greater than your God, greater than your Redeemer, you may sit there today and you may wake up this morning and say, my life is hopeless. But by noontime, amen, God has already sent the holy messengers of God to say, look, you're not living it. We're packing up your stuff right now. We're packing up your bags. We're moving you out of Lodibar into the court of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I don't want to live in Lodibar. I've been to Lodibar. I've paid my ticket. I've lived in that miserable place. I've lived with those miserable people that live in Lodibar. Don't have nothing positive to say. Amen? Always thinking the worst. Well, you know, they probably got, you know. Just another one, you know. Been there, done that. I got the T-shirt. But I'm smart now. I've been deceived, but I'm smart now. I ain't ever going to let nobody deceive me again. Now, you're already deceived. You're deceived by your own bitterness. You're deceived by your own unforgiveness. You think you're preaching grace. You think you're living in grace. You think that, no, ma'am, no, sir. I'm telling you right now, the place of Lodibar is not the place. It's the place God introduces me to grace. It's the place that God makes me realize that this is not my final home, but God has something better. You see, it's not enough that David said, hey, I want you to pat Mephibosheth on the back and say, hey, I wish you the best, bro. I know you got needs, but hey, I hope everything works out for you. That isn't grace. That's not grace. No, for it to be grace, for it to be true deliverance, what David did, he didn't just come to tell him, good luck, Mephibosheth, and I like you, and you're going to be okay. No, he said to him, look, what I'm doing is I'm coming to get you, and I'm taking you out of here, and I'm bringing you into my house, and you're always going to sit at my table. You're always going to eat the king's meat. You're always going to banquet with me, because I want the world to know that your father, Jonathan, was a man of grace. He was a man of love, and he gave himself even in covenant, even when he knew his own father was wrong. See, grace always covers your brother. See, if all you can ever see is that. See, even in his death, Jonathan was a covenant man. He knew Saul was unrighteous. Come on. How many knows what I'm talking about? See, he knew Saul was unrighteous. He knew Saul wasn't right. Come on. Yeah, that's right. Amens ain't shouting. No, no, they ain't flowing like they were a minute ago. Because grace is okay as long as it looks good, feels good, smells good. Is everybody left? Man, this is the other side of grace. See, this is the other side of grace. I said, this is the other side of grace. Yeah, I'll stay in this marriage as long as you make me happy. That ain't grace. That's a contract. That's not a covenant. See, that's a contract. See, I want to remind you of the contract. I said, as long as you stay pretty and skinny, me and you will be okay. But if you can't stay in that place, then I got to find me another honey. You know what I mean? Got to do what I got to do. Gonna meet the needs, you know what I'm saying? But God bless you. Bless you. I gotta hurry, I gotta get to church. That's not covenant. That's contract. That's Lodibar, man. That's desolation. That's a place where there's no pasture. That's a place to where nobody can agree. That's a place to where the crippled go to live. They go there because there's nothing else. It's so desolate, there's not even a McDonald's there. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. See, that's a desert place. That's a place to where there is no grace. But in that place where everybody has forgotten you, in that place where everybody has left you, in that place where nobody can see you, are you listening to me today? Nobody had to remember you. Nobody had to remember Mephibosheth. But guess what? That's why that God planted in David's heart. Amen. Yet there is another one. See, David couldn't see him. His flesh couldn't see him. But how many knows that grace saw Mephibosheth? And I'm telling you today, you may feel like you're forgotten. You may feel like you've been left. You may feel like you're the last. You may feel like nobody knows where you're at. But all grace does. Grace sees you today. Grace knows where you live. Grace has your heart. And grace wants to take you on into something greater. Are you hearing me today? Mephibosheth said, yes. Everybody say yes. I have to learn to say yes. We'll try it again. The questions are only going to get tougher, so come on now. I have to learn to say yes to grace. I told somebody this week, I said, you know, and as I was ministering to him, I said, look, no matter how great the power of God is, you still have to say yes to it. There's not a miracle in the Bible. Amen. The blind Bartimaeus. Jesus could have come along. You have to be careful that you don't have the attitude of Naaman. Amen. See, you got to be careful of pride. You got to be careful of pride. I'll say it again. You got to be careful of pride. Amen. God resisteth the proud, but to the humble he giveth more grace. You have to learn to say yes to grace. Everybody say, you got to learn to say yes to grace. You got to learn to say yes to God's ability to deliver you out. Because you can resist against it. Your will can. I don't want anybody to see my weakness. I don't want anybody to see me in Lodibar. I don't want anybody to see me in my crippledness. I don't want to reveal my crippledness. I'm going to try to cover my crippledness up. I'm going to try to blanket it. I'm going to try to dress it up. I'm going to try to dress it up. But I am saying to you today, you don't have to dress your crippledness up. You don't have to dress it up anymore. You can come to the cross. You can say, look, here I am in all my ugliness, in all my brokenness. Here I am. That's why we come to him just as I am. Amen. How many is glad we can come to him just as we are? Amen. Man, I tell you what, great word, great word. So that series is the last few services. You can go online and you can catch the full word. Amen. And the first part of this message undoubtedly today is me trying to close out that message. Amen. So here in it goes along. What happens once we've come into grace? What is it? What is God trying to do in our life? Where is God trying to take us? And I want to show you a couple things today. It's a thought. I don't know where it's going to go. Amen. Is that okay today? Amen. You got enough message. Amen. You already got your money's worth. You've already paid your tithes and offerings. So The first part of my message was enough. So anything else, it's all freebie. Come on, everybody say freebie. Amen. Amen. Well, go down the street, see if you can get something better than that. I don't know. Look at here, if you will, in Luke 24, verse 44. We're going to begin there. New American Standard Bible is where we're reading from. Amen. I want to tell everyone today, thank you again. Thank you for letting me minister to you. Thank you for coming out this morning. Thank you for being here. In the midst of all of this, thank you that you allow me and Karen to be your pastors. And we do not take that for granted. We are very grateful for what God has given us. And we thank God for you every day of our lives. Amen. Every day of our lives. And we're glad to have Grayson back with us today. I hear him over there preaching with his grandpa. He the bomb diggity. Amen. The bomb diggity. He's doing a lot better. And we didn't think he was going to make it this morning. His mom was tormenting him, amen, this morning early, trying to get him dressed. And he was resistant against any kind of, amen, he's a boy. Somebody say he's a boy. She had nothing to do with his surgery. He just didn't want to be dressed up. Just put me in my diaper and take me, man. That's good enough. How many guys wish you could come to church? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. I looked at some of your faces and it lightened up when I... Lord, help us. You're a mess, all of you. Look at here in Luke 24. And he said to them, are you there? Say amen. Amen. Now he said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you. Now, there's a couple of real keys here. Let's see if you catch it. Can you? Let's see if you catch it here. In Luke 24, verse 44, he said, now he said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds. Look at here. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day. In verse 47, and repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations beginning from Jerusalem. How many understand this is Jesus in his resurrected body coming back to the disciples? Amen. This is Bethany that he's talking at, and we're going to see that. I'm sending forth, and he says, beginning from Jerusalem, verse 48, you are witnesses of these things. Everybody say, I'm a witness. I am a witness of these things. What are you a witness of? Well, you weren't there, but you are there because you witness the grace of God in your life. You witness Calvary in your life. If you have a witness Calvary in your life, then you have nothing to say to anybody. But if Christ has witnessed himself, Christ has come to you and you've witnessed the goodness, the mercy and the love of God in your life. If you've witnessed the grace of God in your life, he said, freely you have received, now freely. I said, freely you have received, now freely give. What God has given to you, we need to give out. Why? Because if you don't give, you get nothing back. See, I know that we talk about money, and money is the least in the kingdom of God. But the problem is that money is something that governs many people's lives. How many does money govern your emotions? Don't raise your hands. I'm not looking for participation. How many knows how much money can govern our lives? The lack thereof can send you into a tailspin like nothing else. Just about the time that you want to do something, you don't have the funds to be able to do it. But I want you to know today that God has given you a promise. And if money becomes that God in your life, that you have to, if mammon becomes that thing that governs your emotions and governs your life. You say, well, Pastor, it's fine if you've got money. Well, I know what it's like not to have any money. You've heard the stories we've told you. Amen. Of our life is that our life has been a life of faith. Our life has not been a life to where that we were born into wealth. In our marriage, in our life, we remember, we know what it was to have to gather together pennies every day just to be able to feed Jennifer. I remember having to go from door to door, handing out phone books, doing day jobs to be able to feed my family because I got laid off. Are you listening to me today? I know what it is. We know what it is to be on food stamps. We know what it is to go through the line. We know what it is to have to seek the government for help. We know what it is to be down and out. We know what it is to be poor. I know what it is to eat beans three times a day. And the reason, and the only way you knew the difference between supper, amen, and morning is that you put soup on your beans and cornbread in the morning, amen, for something sweet. So you knew when you got to supper that night, at least there'd be some kind of difference to it. Are you hearing? But you know what? I know what it tastes like. Amen. When I left home, I said, I'd never eat another bean as long as I live. Sure enough, I get hungry for beans. Are you hearing me? Some of you say you never, but never say never. So he said, forgiveness is proclaimed his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I'm sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. And he led them out as far as, everybody say, Bethany. Amen. Everybody say, Bethany. Bethany is this place to where that it's at this place. If you ever do any travels in Israel, it is a holy place. And there are places people have set up memorials here in Bethany. Bethany was a place of revelation. Bethany was a place of grace. It was also a place of revelation to where the disciples' minds were open up. But I want you to know something. It's not enough just to know something. Are you hearing me? It's not enough just to have the knowledge. And that's what Jesus is saying here. If that was the case, he would have said, hey, stay in Bethany. Amen. Kick it back right here. You can do everything. But he had something else for them. He had something greater for them. Oh, don't get all disjointed and say, There he go. He's going to be talking about tongues in a minute. Let me tell you something. Tongues is, here is the problem. The devil has made the issue about tongues. The enemy has made an issue about tongues. Religious folks make issues about tongues. Tongues has nothing to do with nothing. Darling, you can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost without speaking in tongues at first. But I want you to know something. Tongues is only an instrument that God uses to increase your fellowship and your relationship with Him. Me speaking in tongues don't have nothing to do with you. That didn't go over as well as I thought it would. I said, tongues don't have nothing to do with you. Let's get it out in the open right now and just say to you, tongues have nothing to do with you. Tongues is something personal. And if God wants to do something, here's the problem. We've had so many people who have misused the gift that what has happened is that we've exalted the misuse instead of the proper use of what God wants to use, that personal prayer language for individual lives. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But the thing of it is, don't focus on that. Focus on what God wants to do in your life right now. And that is, Bethany is not the final place. Are you hearing me? So he went as far as Bethany with him, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they, after worshiping him, returned to Jerusalem. Everybody said, return to Jerusalem. With great joy, and were continually in the temple praising God. See, man, this is a terrible time right now. It was an emotional roller coaster for the disciples. They had seen everything and had experienced everything. They had within the past few weeks, listen to this, witnessed their leader Jesus Christ open the blinded eyes, perform other miracles. They were then with him when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray with fervency and heaviness. They were there when the soldiers took him away. They stood from a distance and watched him crucified and watched him die. And then they experienced the resurrection at the same time. Are you hearing me today? So here, man, their life was like a roller coaster. And now, here, Jesus is appearing before them. Look at Luke 24, 38 through 41. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See, even though that we have a revelation, that revelation in Bethany was only partial. It's only partial. That's why that many times what we do is we park at Bethany. See, Bethany is a place of grace. Jesus is revealed to us, but it's not about him being revealed to us. It's about him demonstrating his life through us. You're a witness. You are to tell somebody. But more than tell, we are to demonstrate something to the world. Amen. So here, he says, why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they still could not believe it because of their joy and amazement, he said to them, have you anything here to eat? See, I think that's one of the coolest scriptures right there. See, Jesus could have said, okay, let's sit down, and I'm going to revelate to all of you now. I'm going to be really spiritual. Jesus looks at him and says, man, did you guys got any chips or pop here? You know, I'm like hungry. See, some of you are just like, I don't know if they can laugh at it or not. That seems sacrilegious, isn't it? You want to understand? Because our concept of him is all, our concept of heaven, our concept of God is so Hollywoodized. It's so messed up in our thinking about what God is really like. Here's Jesus in a real body, but it's resurrected. He doesn't have the same problems with doors and walls and windows. He doesn't have the same obstacles anymore. He has exchanged his mortal for his immortality. But don't you think it's interesting? The thing that Jesus says here, he doesn't reach out and says, is there anybody here I can heal? Or is there any dead I can raise from the grave? He looks at him and says, hey, does anybody get anything to eat? I mean, doesn't that blow your mind? Doesn't it affect you the same way it does me? Is it in that context that here is Bethany? And instead of Jesus saying, park here, put your roots down here in Bethany because you've seen me here. Just because you got saved, man, that's not the ending place. Just because you found Christ as your Savior, that's not the end. Man, what is that hunger that's on the inside of you? Why are you considered a rebel? Why can't you fit in any place? Why doesn't anybody accept you? Why do you always feel like you're the odd man out when you're standing someplace? Why? Because God is trying to tell you something. There's something more I have for you. And religion and church isn't going to get it done. You need something more. Are you hearing me today? Bethany is not the final place. Bethany is not the final place. How do we know that? Well, turn with me if you will, real quick. And let's hear the words of Jesus. Amen. In Luke chapter 24, I believe. 24 or 22. If I'm wrong in 22, we'll go to 24. How's that? Don't you love the word? Luke 20. I'll tell you real quick. It's not 22. See, you were wrong. It's 24. Look, in Luke 24, look what he says here. And he said to them, these are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you and at you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, right? Amen? 24 is wrong. It's 22. God, help me, Lord Jesus. 22, verse 1. Look at here. Now the feast of the unleavened bread is drew nigh, which is called in Passover. And I'm probably not right here either. In verse 19, look on down there. Here's the Passover that was happening here in Bethany that was there. And he took the bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after the supper, saying, this cup is the new testament in my blood which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table, and truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto the man by whom he is betrayed. Here Jesus is sitting down in the Passover, and he's breaking down the new covenant, and he's saying, here is my body that was broken for you. Here is my healing. Here is the new covenant. Here is the blood that is in my new covenant. Are you listening to me today? And so he says here to them, and jumping over to Luke 2:24 and verse 49, listen, and he says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. So he's telling them here, he said, look, man, Bethany is not the end place. The Passover is not the final place. Why did he have two feasts here? And within 50 days of the Passover to Pentecost, exactly 50 days, what was he doing? The number 50 there also means a time of jubilee. Listen to me. So if 50 is jubilee, if Pentecost was a time of jubilee, if it was a time of celebration, then why wasn't Passover the ultimate? If Passover was the ultimate, why was that feast not just left and there was no need for any other feast? Passover could have been it. Passover could have been the feast. That's it, man. There's nothing else. But he's saying here, there is something else. That's why he's saying, look, here's Passover, here's my body, here's my blood, but I want you to go to Jerusalem because I want to endue you with the ability to carry out what I've taught you. See, it's not enough, man, that we have the word. It's the ability to be able to demonstrate the word. The world is in bondage. The world is in fear. This thing has just enveloped me to such a place. I'm almost obsessed over it. It's not enough for us. We've lived too long in the place of being taught. We need to move from the place of being taught, and we need to move to the place of demonstration. The world needs to see a real Jesus. They need to see a real Jesus. Are you hearing me? Man, not just to love Jesus, but they need to see a bodaciously bad Jesus. Amen? They need to see the radical Jesus. So here, in that context, he tells them to go to Jerusalem. Turn with me to Acts, if you will. Acts chapter 2. Are you still with me? Do I need to go back to Lodibar, man? Come on. I want to give you this because this is what God gave me this week. In Acts chapter 2. Well, you can look in Acts chapter 1 there in verse 8. That's good too. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but ye shall receive power. This is Jesus speaking. He said, but ye shall receive power. Everybody say power.
Amen?
So everybody wants to. And again, like I said, everybody wants to they want to emphasize the tongues. Amen. Somebody said, do I have to speak in tongues? No, you don't have to do nothing, man. You get to if that's what you want. But tongues or no tongues, not keeping you out of heaven. But here's my whole deal is this. My whole thing about this is how much of him do I want? If Passover was it, why did he say to them in Bethany, hey, just stay here. This is enough. Just win Bethany. But he knew they were going to have to be empowered. That's why he was teaching in John and he said, look, he says, it's expedient that I go unto the Father because I'm going to send the Comforter unto you. Amen. I'm going to send one like to me and he is going to endue you with power. He's going to give you the ability to be led into all truth. And not only that, is he going to lead you into all truth. Listen, to all truth. Everybody say all truth. Not my truth. But his truth. The Bible says he is the way, the truth. Jesus is the truth. What he's going to do is he's going to reveal the full Jesus unto your life. Amen? I said the full Jesus into our lives. See, he wants to reveal all of who he is to us. Because I, at my will, my flesh sometimes becomes bigger than what God wants to do in my life. See, that's the point here. The point is what the Holy Spirit does and the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the fire of the Holy Spirit. What it does, man, it burns up the wood, the hay, and the stubble in my life. It purges my life of me. Man, to submit fully to the Holy Spirit means I'm giving up my will, my ways, my desires, and I allow the Holy Spirit to have full control of my life. Amen. That's really what it gets down to. That's why he said to him, look, Bethany is not it. Passover is not the ultimate. I have Pentecost for you. Are you hearing it today? Amen. Good preaching, Pastor. Thank you. So he said, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. Now, I want you to see something here in verse 2. In verse 1. And look what it says here. And when the day of Pentecost was what? Everybody say it. Fully come. The day of the Lord has to fully come. See, God's bringing you to a place. Everybody say, I need to fully come to a place in my life. See, when you get full, what happens? If you have... How many sees this as full? This bottle of water. Amen? But what happens is this. Is that if I take the cap off. Amen? This bottle of water is. We can talk about this bottle of water. We can make sermons and doctrines from this bottle of water today. This is the purest water. This is clear water. This is just short water. It's a short bottle. We can make a sermon out of it. It's small, but it's powerful, but it's refreshing. Are you hearing me? We can talk about there's nothing like water that refreshes you. Can you imagine standing before people who are in a desert that's been there for a week and you're trying to sell them on water? How many knows you don't have to sell water to a dry land? You don't have to sell water to a thirsty man. You don't have to sell. So the fact of it is, this water's no good until I want. Until I open it and I partake of it. This water is no good if all I'm doing is drinking this water in front of thirsty people and always telling them about how satisfying the water is. What changes the world is I drink, God's given to me, but I look and I say, Jeff, do you need a drink, bro? Eric, do you need some water? Betty, do you want a drink? I have something that will refresh you, that will change your life. See, Bethany is not enough. Jesus said, Bethany is here. But I need you to go to Jerusalem because I'm going to empower you to be able to carry out this message. Jesus said in John, he said this, and I'm closing. Jesus said this to us. He said, look, the reason why the Comforter must come, the reason why he must come is for this reason. So that he might lead you. He talked about three things there. He talked about conviction, talked about judgment. He talked about reproof. And he talked about those three things. But he said, look, the Holy Spirit must come so that he can empower you to lead you into all truth. And then he said in another place, these works I want you to do, but greater works than these shall you do. Somebody said, man, how can it be greater? How can a blinded eye be greater or a dead body be filled? Because the thing of it is remember something. Jesus healed a lot of bodies. He raised people from the dead. But until he died, no man could be redeemed for eternity. And now he has called you through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the ministry of reconciliation to reconcile men, but not only to reconcile them, but to restore them. Hear me today. The church talks a lot about reconciliation, but they talk very little about restoration. We promise reconciliation, but the broken come into our lives and into our homes and into the houses of God, but we can't restore them back. We don't have the ability. We say we have the power, but the church has not produced it. I declare to you today, the power of God is here to be able not only to reconcile you, not only to have a Bethany in your life, but God has a place. He took men who were ignorant fishermen. He took men who had no education. He took men who had nothing except a promise. Do you hear me? The only thing that they had was a promise when they went to the upper room. Are you hearing me? And in that promise, these men and women who were up, men and women who were in that upper room, became endued, became clothed, and had the ability to not only just redeem men and women back to Christ, but to restore the broken, the hurt, the wounded, the lame that is out there today. Man, look, we are only here in this earth for a short time. And God has given us His abundant grace. But God has also given us the power to be able to change men's lives. Are you hearing me today? Look, the church has heard all the messages. We've had and preached enough messages to fill thousands of stadiums. We don't need another message. We need another messenger that is filled with the power of God to change the world that we live in today. Bethany is, I thank God for Bethany. That's where Jesus was revealed to me. But how many are glad today that Jesus said, Bethany is not the final place. I need you to go to Jerusalem because I have something greater for you. How many wants greater today? How many wants greater today? How many wants God to demonstrate through your life? I believe that today. I believe that God wants to demonstrate through your life today. How many are glad not only for the grace of God? Listen to me. See, we don't associate a lot of this with grace. But grace doesn't only save you. But grace also empowers you. See, when we talk about grace, we talk about things like this. Grace is the favor of God. Grace is the unmerited favor of God. But do you know another term for grace? Another term for grace is divine impartation. You know what grace is in its simplest form? Grace is God's ability, His power working when my ability can't do it. See, grace doesn't only redeem you, but grace leads you from place to place that God has for you. If all your life is that place. My life began on the corner of Cole and Jefferson Street in Tiffin, Ohio. I know you don't know where that's at. At the corner of Cole and Jefferson Street, a kid 16 years old, rough as a cob, straight off the streets.
I know it's hard to believe, but do you know that God saved me with a pack of cigarettes in my pocket? I mean, isn't that crazy? God saved me with long hair. I would give anything to have that hair back. But 43 years of pastoring and what can I say? That my life began at Colin Jefferson. Every time I say those words, I know you hear it. You're probably tired of me saying it. But I tell you, every time I say it, all I have to do is say at the corner of Colin Jefferson, and I immediately am taken back to that old theater seat and the smell of that leather. The seats were cracking and the hemp was coming up out of it. It's when they used hemp to stuff chairs. And that old leather was old and cracked, but it was all that church could afford to have. Clapboard floors. There was no carpet on it, man. The church, it occupied a corner. The church wasn't even as big as my right section here of it. You'd have to cut this in half and cut it down. And it was narrow. When you came in, it was an old storefront, and so it was shaped like this. And when you walked on it, man, you couldn't be quiet because of the old clapboards that it was made. No carpet, nothing on the floor. But I'm not at Colin Jefferson still. I'm here in Wilkesboro. Are you hearing me? See, I'm not in Colin Jefferson. He didn't look at me and said, "Hey, this is it, baby. This is it." Amen. Carolyn, we were talking the other day. And it's been a crazy thing. She's had to think a couple times in her life, why did I marry this guy? He has taken me all over the world and the country. And here he has, in the time of our life, to where we should be enjoying life, he has taken me to pastor another church. But I have to say something to you today. If I would have stayed in Tiffin, Ohio, I would have died. As great as finding that thing there, that was not the full will of God for my life. And I want to say something to you by the Spirit today. Some of you that are sitting here, some of you are stuck in Bethany. Hey, it was a place of revelation. It was a place to where that God revealed Himself and you found Jesus Christ and He was revealed to your life. But some of you are stuck in Bethany. Some of you are stuck in Lodibar. You're stuck in your crippledness, but you're also stuck in a religious mindset. You're stuck in a place to where you know it and I know it. God definitely knows it in your life. You're stuck in a relationship. You're stuck wherever you're at, but you know what? It's not your final place. I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, you know what? I ain't staying in Bethany. God has Jerusalem for me. Jerusalem became that launching place for the church. Today is the birthday of the church. It's Pentecost Sunday. Amen. I could have done a lot of things, man. But you know, the thing that I wanted to declare was to give you the finished word of Lodibar. And I wanted to tell you today. And God wanted me to give this prophetic word to some of you today. And listen to it. It goes along with this scripture. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's what we had to pray. Not my will, but thine be done. As long as you're praying your will and you want your will, be careful because you'll want to stay in Bethany. Because some people built memorials there. They built temples there. So it became a holy place. But guess what? Jesus ain't there no more. Build all the temples you want. He's not there. Guess what? When the last person walks through the door of this building today, Jesus goes with us. This isn't a holy place. Only when we, His holy people, occupy this place does it become a holy place. Amen? Because tomorrow a bar can move in here. Amen? If they have like $20 million and I can go and build something better. But you know what? A bar can come in here. This building isn't going to make that bar holy. Are you hearing me? It doesn't make them saved. We are the temple of God. And to be all that God wants, we have to go from Bethany to Jerusalem. From Passover, there is still yet what? Pentecost. Passover is only part of it. Pentecost is the fulfillment. Passover is the revelation of the Christ. But Pentecost is what? The demonstration of the Christ. Passover is the revelation. Come on, say it with me. Passover is the revelation of Christ. But Pentecost is the demonstration of the Christ. And what does Christ mean? The anointed one. Amen? Amen. Would you stand with me today? Amen. We will. We love you today, and we appreciate you. I just want you to bow your heads just for a minute.